In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today, because today the Lord is on the throne. He hears and answers prayer, and you know, if your faith in Him is intact, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right, and He's promised that to me today. He said, "This is none of your business what I've been fighting with. This is my business, and I have to listen to Him." I'm reading from the Sunday readings. They're very interesting, but before I start to read, I want to remind you that in 1 Samuel, Hannah, the wife of Elkanah, was barren. She didn't have any children. And they went up to Shiloh, to where the temple was, and Eli was the priest, and she was praying, her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out. Eli thought she was drunk, and he says to her, "You drunken woman, get out of the temple." She said, "I am not drunk, I have a heavy heart, and my heart is heavy because I do not have a son." And Eli said, "Next year at this time, you will have a son." And when the son came, she named him Samuel. And after he was weaned, she gave him to Eli. And that was the word that she lent him to Eli, which means he would grow up in the temple at Shiloh. I'm reading from 1 Samuel 3. Samuel was sleeping in the temple. He's a young boy now. The temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." And Samuel ran and said, "Here I am. You called me." He ran to Eli. And Eli said, "I did not call you," Eli said. "Go back to sleep." So he went back to sleep again. And the Lord called Samuel, who rose and went to Eli. "Here I am," he said. "You called me." But Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Go back to sleep." At that time, Samuel did not know the Lord. It's interesting. He didn't know God. And you know, he's so close to the things of God, the Ark of the Covenant. He sleeps right in the presence of God, but he didn't know God. It could be that way with us, that we know all about God, but we don't know God. For many years, I knew the catechism, but I didn't know God until God revealed His presence to me. And then I could say, "I know God. I know Jesus. I know the Holy Spirit." You see, we need to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be blessed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to follow Jesus. You see, I touch the Lord every day when I receive Holy Communion and I distribute Holy Communion. But you know what? It could be that I didn't know the Lord and I'm doing all these holy things. We are called to know the Lord, not to know about Him, but to know Him, to experience Him. At this time, Samuel did not know the Lord. He was not familiar with the Lord. Let me tell you some stories about people who have been known by God. I'm thinking of Uncle Vincent today. Uncle Vincent was an Italian man, beautiful man, but never would hug his children. When he came to know Jesus and know the Lord, he started to hug his children. He started to cry. He started to tell them how much he loved them. Yes, he was changed from the inside out, because now he knew the Lord. He was familiar with God. And I talked about Sister Josephine. She was a nun that taught all the Christian classics. She taught John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila. She taught, what else did she teach? Augustine. and she was a professor and taught all these wonderful books about Jesus, but she did not know the Lord. She told me, I don't know the fellow. And we prayed that the fellow, his name is Jesus, would come into her heart and that would reveal himself to her, and he did. And she became a witness to the people that were on drugs and alcohol, because now she knew the Lord. There was another person in Mattapan that when I met her, I started to talk about Catherine Kuhlman, and she said, I always wanted to have faith like Catherine Kuhlman. And so we went into her house. I'll never forget it. It was knotty pine in the basement. And we prayed that Jesus would come into her heart and that he would reveal himself to her. And you know what? He did. He revealed himself to her. And she was crying, and she said, I thought I was going to see the crucified Lord, but I saw the risen Lord. You see, this woman became known by God, and she knew God now. But you have to grow in the experience, because the Lord had not revealed anything to Samuel as yet. The Lord called Samuel again for the third time. Getting up and going to Eli the priest, he said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli understood that the Lord was calling the youth. So he said to Samuel, Go to sleep, and if you are called, reply, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. When Samuel went to sleep in his place, the Lord came and revealed his presence, calling out as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. If you want to know what the Lord talked to him about, you read the third chapter of 1 Samuel. I'm telling you, there are so many people that come to church, and yet they don't even know they can have an experiential knowledge of God. I call it hot fudge Sunday knowledge. You say, that sounds blasphemous. No, if someone from India came to me, and I said, I'm going for a hot fudge Sunday, and he says, I don't know what you mean. And then I said, well, it's got chocolate ice cream and daubs of hot fudge and whipped cream and nuts and a cherry on the top. The person would say, I don't know what you mean. I've never had it. So what would I do? I'd take him to Friendly's and order a hot fudge sundae and let him taste and see. You see, the scripture says about the Lord, taste and see that the Lord is good, not think and wonder. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and he is good to his people. Remember what I said to you last week, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have Samuel so close to the things of God, and yet he does not know the Lord, until the Lord reveals himself to Samuel. Has the Lord ever revealed himself to you? If he has, then grow in that revelation. Oh yes, it happened to me in 1968, the last Sunday in August, when the Lord changed my life. On that Thursday before, he said to me, you can be in the deepest mud hole, but I'll always be there to pull you out, because I'm your loving Father. I found Psalm 40, and it's my story. I waited and waited for the Lord. I was looking for God. And he stooped toward me and heard my cry. And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. That's my life. Sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, Behold, I come. In the written scroll it is prescribed for me to do your will, O my God, is my delight. I said to the Lord, You can have my life. And he took me at my word. You can have my life. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips as you, O Lord, know. And God knows I have done these things by the grace of God. not because I have done these things, but the grace of God has been in me to do these things. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. We're reading the second reading from 1 Corinthians. The body is not for immorality, but the body is for the Lord. You know, your body is not for sin. It is for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. God raised the Lord Jesus, and will also raise us by his power. Yes, he will. When? When Jesus comes in glory. Do you not know? Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? But whoever is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with the Lord. Avoid immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the immoral person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? That your body, if you love Jesus, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. You're not your own. I'm not my own. Why? Because I've been bought with a price. What price? The price of the blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Oh, yes. Sing hymns and spiritual songs to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him where you are and that you need him today. Oh, yes. Tell him you want to know him today. Tell him that without him, you're nothing. Without him, I'm less than nothing. But that's real. I'm not talking about being without him, because I cannot even live without him. Be in him. Be for him. Be with him. Now we go to the Gospel of John. Interesting. They're all about knowing God. John was standing with two of his disciples, probably Andrew and John. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." What does that mean? That's the Paschal Lamb. It wasn't a baha. Now it's a person. "Behold the Lamb of God," Jesus. The two disciples heard what was said and followed Jesus. They left John the Baptist. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" That's a wonderful question. What are you looking for? What am I looking for? Who are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? "Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened." Yes. They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why does the evangelist tell us it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon? That's when they were changed by the love of God. That's when they were changed by Jesus Christ. They realized that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, their lives would never be the same. Do you know that today? You do not live for yourself. You live for the Lord. Why? You and I were bought with the price. What's the price? Of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John the Baptist and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated Christ. Then they brought Peter, Simon, to Jesus. And Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. These readings today are all about knowing the Lord. Oh yes, Andrew and John were changed by the presence of Jesus. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Mine happened to be the last Sunday in August in 1968 in the afternoon. Now, some people don't have this revelation so strong. It comes gradually. It comes gradually. And that's also true. But you know him. Not only know about him, you know him. I knew the catechism. I did not know Jesus before 1968. That's just real. That's real. The Catholic Church calls it second conversion. First conversion takes place when? At baptism. The second conversion takes place when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Have you had second conversion? If not, you ask the Lord. Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to be with you. Lord, I want to be a Catholic who knows you so well that Augustine would call me a Catholic Christian. Who are you looking for today? Are you looking for riches? Are you looking for the Lord? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. I'm going to Mark 1, verse 40. A leper came to Jesus, begging him, and kneeling, he said to Jesus, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, Jesus sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Oh, you know that's not going to happen. "But go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could not any longer go into the town openly, but stayed out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter. I tell you, you tell people, don't say anything. You can just rest assured that everybody's going to know it. Yes, this man was completely healed of leprosy. I do not know how far the body was rotting, but I do know he had leprosy. And you know, when you have leprosy, you're out of the community. You have a bell that you ring and you call leper, leper, and people would run away because it was contagious. Today, we know people with leprosy, and they need to take some antibiotic and be healed. God knows that these things take place and that this stuff is still real. I remember the story when my car got a flat tire on the Mass Turnpike. And this young man, his name is Joe, he stopped and said, "What are you doing?" I said, I have a flat tire. He said, "This is the turnpike, don't you know that?" I said, "I know that." He said, "Well, I'll fix your turnpike. I'll fix your flat tire." And so he did. He fixed my flat tire. And he put the tire in the back seat. And he saw all these white cloths. And he said, "What are these white cloths for?" I said, "I have friends that roll the cloths and send them to the lepers." He said, "Like the lepers in the Bible?" I said, "Exactly. Exactly like the lepers in the Bible." I tell you, that man was changed. He came to our Bible study every single Sunday. And God changed him by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Have you been changed? Are you the same old person? Or are you the person who was changed, but now you could care less? It is time to give yourself to Jesus. It is time to surrender to him. It is time. Do not wait another day. It is time to give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 of Mark, the Word of God says, "When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home." That was Peter's home. "So many gathered around, and there was no longer room for them to come even through the front door. And he was speaking the word to them. Of course he's going to speak the word to them. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. He was speaking the word to them. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them, their four friends. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the man on the mat, and the paralyzed man lay beside Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, whose faith? The faith of the four friends. I'm going to tell you about friendship. I'm going to tell you about friendship. Does your friend lead you to Jesus? Does your friend cause you to want more of God? Then keep that friend. Does your friend lead you away from Jesus? Then dump that friend. They're not friends at all. You must know that. When Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the four friends, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Well, I'm going to tell you, people are going to get upset about this, because only God can forgive sins. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their own hearts, why did this man speak in this way? This is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? At once, or immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up, take up your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know," not think, "know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Our Lord Jesus Christ is a healer, and our Lord Jesus Christ is the forgiver of sins. And you know, we have a sacrament about the forgiveness of sins. It's called confession. And people just do not go to confession anymore. It's kind of sad, at least not in Winthrop. We might have one or two a week, if we have one or two a week. And people, I tell the people, we have confessions every Saturday from 4:30 to 5:30. Then I tell them, if you want to make an appointment with me, you can make an appointment with me, and I'll hear your confession. And I'm telling you, people just won't go to confession. And that's a kind of a sad experience, because when we go to confession, we're going under the blood of Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do you know the Lord? Do you know that the one in you is greater in you than the enemy outside? Do you know that you can come to experience him really and experience like hot fudge Sunday knowledge? Do you know that God wants you to know him, not only know about him, but to know him? We need experiential knowledge of God. God, Father, give your people experiential knowledge, and me too. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.